learned today that last Sunday was our second biggest attendance since Easter. Periodically, Scout Sunday's become our number two service as far as attendance. What a blessing. And for those of you who don't know, our Boy Scout troop is, I understand it's the oldest continuously operating troop west of the Mississippi. Pretty interesting. We're glad you're here. We're glad the visitors are here. Please remember to greet everyone and fill out the attendance pad in your pew and pass it to the middle, the center aisle. Reverend Mary's class, Christ's Cries from the Cross, will begin this Tuesday, February 21st. Please put a check mark beside that in the insert in your bulletin, and you can place it in the offering plate. Don't forget to bring hygiene items. We will be collecting them for 2 more weeks. Items needed include deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrushes, shampoo, bath-sized bar soap, comb, hairbrush, washcloths. These can be travel size or regular sized. Designated boxes are outside the sanctuary and in the Wilson Activity Center. Stone soup will be next Sunday, February 26th. It is at Quapaw Quarter, UMC. On Wednesday, March 1st, we will have a church fellowship supper with food from Corky's, beginning at 5:45. Our Ash Wednesday service will follow that at 6:30. We hope you will be there. Please call the church office to let us know if you will eat dinner. And now Dave Morano has an announcement to share.
Morning. I am Dave Morano. I've been asked to help out a little bit this morning. Sean McNerland is going to be leading the stewardship this year, and she is busy in the other service, so she's asked me to fill in real quick. So far, our stewardship team this year will be led by Sean. Tom Evans is also on, myself, my wife Mindy, and Clark Cogbill is doing a second consecutive run with the stewardship committee. So if you see him, please thank him for his double duty. I wanted to start out by letting you guys know about some of the exciting things that we had happen in 2016. First, shared ministries to the district and the conference were paid in full, which is fantastic news. Congratulations for helping with that. Second, our membership is steady. Church family is 715 people strong. We had 29 people join in 2016, 13 by profession of faith, 10 transfers from other UMC churches, and 6 from other denominations. We also celebrated 10 baptisms this year. We had started a new ministry, the food pantry. So far, we've collected over 220 pounds of food and fed almost 70 people. The renovations to the WAC are moving along strongly. Hopefully, you've noticed the new stage and soundboard and walls and things that are happening over there that are very exciting. The ACCDC has 130 current enrollment. It is at full capacity. And the fundraiser this year raised $10,000 for improvements to the building and the outdoor areas for the kids. Hog on the Hill was again held last year. It doubled itself in attendance and raised $8,000 for the shared giving. And remember the little buses that were plastered up all over the walls everywhere? Those, with your help, generated $70,000 for the purchase of a new bus for Asbury. And due to a legacy trust, I'm gonna make sure I get this right here, $297,575.29 was applied toward the building mortgage. We are planning to having that loan paid off in its entirety in 7 years, and the balance now owed is $517,524.82. So if you've got any tax refund money and you're wondering what to do with it, we've got a couple ideas that could help you with that. We've also expanded our Indian community ministry by holding a language class. And thanks to a little storm that rolled through here, we've actually got a new roof on the church as well. So that's just a few of the things that happened in 2016. We've already got some great plans for 2017 that I wanted to share with you. First off, the formula for apportionments has changed. making it more equitable to the size of the church and based on the income that comes in from the congregation, not the budget. 10% of our offerings to the church is now that. We will be finishing the WAC renovations very soon, so please make sure you're going over there and looking at all the progress. Our youth are going to be going to Veritas Assembly, and they'll also be starting confirmation soon, so please make sure you support them with all of your talent, time, and prayers. We will be continuing Change for Change during the Lenten season, so start collecting the monies now, and those will be used for shared ministry as well. And then Hog on the Hill is also coming back again this year, so if you've got those little jars at home where you put your spare change, make sure you throw those in there. If not, get one started. There's going to be some really great items up for auction, and we'll be throwing some teasers out about that in the weeks to come. We've got a lot to talk about and a lot to be in prayer about, and thanks for all that you do for Asbury. So as I conclude, let's please go to God in prayer for our church and for its members. From 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Dear Lord, watch over our church and our church family. Let us all go strong in faith and lean on you during good times and bad times. Nourish our souls and hearts and minds through your teaching. We are your servants. Let's all be there for you and our church as we go forward in 2017. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
This time, please stand and pass the peace of Christ. Please stand for the hymn of praise, number 103, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Please remain standing for the affirmation of faith, number 887, printed in the bulletin as well. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. In Christ Jesus our Lord, thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to talk to everybody else. How about that? Because we all need to hear this. So I have a question. First of all, how are you today? Good. Are you enjoying the sunny weather? I am too. So I want to talk about a typical scenario on the playground. Okay? Let's say we're on the playground, and you and your friend went to play on the jungle gym. Do you have jungle gyms? Bars. Can you go across the bars? Okay. So you get there and y'all decide that you wanted to go first. And your friend's like, no, I want to go first. And y'all have a little tiff. Let's just put it that way. And so it may be that your friend pushes you. Is the right thing to do to push back? Or is the right thing to do to turn around and do something different? Turn and do something different. That was a good answer. 8:30, we had an interesting answer. So that is the right thing to do. But our normal thing to do is to push somebody. Somebody, especially, because I can tell you I pushed my siblings. My brother pushed me, I pushed him back. And then he pushed me and I pushed him back. And we went back and forth, back and forth. And then I would get hurt and then I'd go and talk to my mom. And he got in trouble. But the right thing to do is to turn our cheek. And so we have a tendency not to do that. Our normal tendency is to kind of get back. Because Jesus tells us that we should turn the other cheek. And so I want you to think about that. We are getting to the point where it's getting warmer outside and we're playing. And we sometimes will have tiffs with our friends. And so the right thing to do is to turn the other cheek. So I want you to think about that when you're playing with your siblings. Is that you don't hit each other, but you turn the other cheek. So let's pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the beautiful weather that you have given us. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. And we just hope to remind us that we need to turn the other cheek in those times when it's just the right thing to do and we just don't want to do that. We ask this all in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, choir. Let us pray. Mighty God, pour upon us your grace. Pour upon us your righteousness. Pour upon us your peace. Pour upon us your strength. We are in need of it, Lord. We want to be rejuvenated within our soul. We want to be filled with your holy wisdom and to live lives that are pleasing in your eyes. We seek a community that understands us, accepts us, and desires for us all to be transformed by your astounding grace that can work wonders in the midst of overbearing circumstances. Transform your church that we will rise up and do all we can while led by your Holy Spirit to bring good news to your children. We came here today by choice. May we choose to live by your will when we have left here today. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may you bless all that we give and share so that it may make an impact to grow your kingdom. May we be renewed in our hearts by sharing in generosity with others. Amen.
We will not.
Please remain standing and join us for number 419, I Am Thine, O Lord.
Amen. Won't you be seated? It is such a blessing to be with you. And it's also a blessing that, and an incredible coincidence, that when the bishop and his wife chooses to show up here this morning, that we have a litany of accomplishments we've shared by Dave from the year 2016. That works really well, and a great timing for all of us. I do want to take a moment and say what a treasure our choir is, and especially Richard for stepping up in this way and leading us as we transition. We really, really appreciate you and thank you. And now we turn to our scripture passage, which comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. Hear these words as they are read aloud. And may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you. And do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For me, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Our choices matter. It matters if you decide to run the red light at the last minute, because that choice may bring a lot of pain and suffering. Choice with whether we want to shame or humiliate someone that is serving us, maybe a waitress, when they make a mistake. Our choices matter with how we deal with those situations. Our choices matter if we decide not to help someone on the corner for money or food, and instead choose to avoid eye contact. Our choices matter if we stand up for someone that is the subject of gossip and ensure that they are honored. We have difficult decisions we make day to day. One of the choices that's always fascinated me and humbled my heart is one of the decisions that my Aunt Miriam had to make when my grandmother passed away. Now, Aunt Miriam was there almost every weekend ensuring that Grandmother Ruth was taken care of. She lingered and hung on for 2 years. No doubt they were close. And that last week was so difficult, so gut-wrenching. Because as you know, if you have encountered people who are about to pass away, they do not look like their normal selves. Their face sunken in, their bones showing through. In the last few hours of my grandmother's life, her jaw looked unnatural. And that was the last living memory my Aunt Miriam had. Torturous. And she had a choice with whether she wanted to be pushed out of her comfort zone one more time and take the risk of going to see my grandmother after the funeral home had done great work with her. And she did. And she got to see Ruth as she knew her as. No doubt that choice has stayed with her ever since, and she's thankful she got to see Ruth in a different way at the end than the devastating one. Choices and decisions we make can impact our lives whether we know it or not. And then, of course, we read this passage this morning. And it seems as though Jesus has raised that bar again. I have a hard enough time. We have a hard enough time keeping up with our own decisions of not running the red light, of not gossiping and this and that, than to be handed this mantle of almost these impossible tasks to fulfill. We encounter hard truths, deep wisdom in this passage, that when someone slaps you across the face, you're to offer the other cheek. When someone sues you for a coat, you are to give your cloak also. When you are tasked, and it was tasked by law that soldiers could enforce, that citizens would carry their belongings for a mile on their behalf, that you choose to go a second mile. Love your enemies and pray for them. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. When we read that, when we hear that, when we hear it preached and we hear it taught, usually we want to curl up in our beds. We want to ignore it. We want to run swiftly past this text because it makes us uncomfortable, because they seem so impossible to follow. But brothers and sisters, this is our gospel. These are words of wisdom and power that Jesus has given us, and they are not meant to be watered down. We must face them head on. Jesus would not have offered these teachings if he did not believe that we could choose to fulfill them. And Jesus knows that with the power and grace of God, these can be fulfilled. When it shares that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, and the sun shines on the good and the evil, that should draw us in to realize that God's love is unconditional. And it means that Jesus Christ himself believes that we can love with that power of God. Wisdom was drawn from this passage during the civil rights movement. Nonviolent resistance. A way of showing strength, of going the extra mile, of trying to switch the shame given to them and to transform it into a place of honor. That's the power these words have. They can lead movements. What does it mean to you when you hear the phrase, you must love your enemies and pray for them? I should love those who want to kill me. I should pray for those who want to do my family harm. Jesus says yes, because Jesus knows that the true power in love is transformational. When we stop the cycle of violence, when we stop the cycle of hatred and repay it with love, forgiveness, an extra mile of generosity, we change the world because it changes people's minds and hearts. When we decide to choose each and every morning to follow God, to follow and seek to fulfill the laws Jesus is lifting up, when we seek to do that every day, peace enters our hearts. transformative love enters our spirits and gives us the strength to do that. A few chapters later, in chapter 11, we hear Jesus say these words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon yourselves and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yes, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." It's supposed to not make sense. It's supposed to sound confusing that if we were to love in deep and radical ways, if we were to go the extra mile, if we were to give all of our possessions to someone on the side of the road, that we would feel anxiety, uncomfortable. But the path that a Christian walks is always a path that is seeking after Jesus, seeking to honor God's love. And with that as our number one priority, everything that happens to us can be transformed in an act of love, mercy, chance for forgiveness, and offering grace. Our choices matter. You chose to be here this morning, a statement of faith. Each morning, we must choose. Because we know how we are. As life goes on, as complications impact our life, everything can seem to interfere with that deep connection we want to have with Christ. So it does begin at the morning when we wake up, a conscious choice and decision that I will be close to Christ today. I will choose to offer peace instead of anger or wrath. I will choose to share words of encouragement and hope and not cynicism and despair. Think of that one person that always seems to amaze you. Maybe a mentor, an older family member, someone in your life that seems to fulfill what this scripture is lifting to us. Deep commitment, doing impossible tasks. Have you ever talk to them about it? Have you ever had deep conversation with that person? How do you love so unconditionally? How do you forgive so easily? We must learn from people on how they interact with Christ and apply it to their life. We must be ready to choose. Just as so that you chose to follow Christ however long ago. That choosing of Christ is an everyday battle. And Lord knows our world, our country, our city, our church needs radical, unconditional, transformative love found in Jesus Christ. Found in you, the hands and feet of Christ. We can choose to follow Christ, or we can choose to just lean back and try and support the myth that everything will be fine. But if you are drawn deeper, if you have that urge of wanting to follow Christ down that path in a sincere and thoughtful way, choose. Choose to go the extra mile. Choose to offer love to people that hate you. And choose to allow that perfecting love of God enter your soul and move you into faithful action. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory, found on page 577. We have our altar rail here at the front that you're welcome to come forward to pray. If there are those like to unite with our church, reaffirm your faith, we welcome you at this time. The kingdom of God is breaking in to transform our world. And you have a choice. And what other decision can you possibly make than want to be a part of this, a part of the loving and saving power of God? It is a privilege and an honor to be a part of it. So may we now go, knowing the strength of the Holy Spirit goes with us, to this world that needs love, mercy, and forgiveness. Amen.